Right. Everybody doing okay tonight?
Yeah.
Man, it's good to be here tonight as we go into week two of our series, That's Life in James. I'm excited that you're here tonight. I believe God has something amazing in store for you tonight. Why? Because he's God. And the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. And sometimes we miss out on opportunities just because we don't feel well or maybe we had a rough day. But I believe that God is always in the mood. And so tonight, as we go into our second week, continuing on this idea and this theme of perseverance in James, because as we begin to understand about Christianity, is that when you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you automatically enter the school of perseverance. Because Jesus completed his work on the cross, but that work is being completed in you every single day. And that work is never done. The Bible says that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. That means until he comes back. And so until then, we are in process, and that process involves perseverance, and perseverance meaning patient endurance, because while we're waiting for change to happen in our life, it takes endurance. And sometimes that change doesn't come overnight. As a matter of fact, it rarely comes overnight. It comes over time. But every once in a while, God will give you a sneak peek and let you see how much you are changing. Because it gives you the confidence to keep going. Where would you be in your life if God did not give you the sneak peek of how far you'd come or the goodness that he had for you? God knows that you need that encouragement because he knows that life is hard. But with him, all things are possible. And in his book, because there were Christians who were suffering persecution and they were discouraged. And if we were honest in here, most of us have been discouraged at one time of our life or another. If not every single day, we face some sort of trial or discouragement in our life. And little did you know that when you entered into this relationship with Jesus Christ, you entered into Faith U. I call it Faith University. With the schoolmaster being Jesus. Because now you're having to understand and begin to process what it actually means to be a Christian and what actually faith is. Not the type of faith that you grew up with, but the type of faith that God demonstrated when he came chasing after you. But also begin to understand what faith looks like. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so you begin to understand real quick that you are putting your faith in a God that you have not seen, but you have to trust. And it becomes difficult because you're used to living your life by sight. But now he asks you to live by faith. And that's difficult. And so you enter into the school not knowing what you're entering into, but all you know is that you've been called to do something different. You've been called to live different. And because of the change that you have seen in your life, this Jesus is. And so he begins to take you through this school. And this school can be very difficult because he's having to undo thought processes in your life that you grew up with in your life. So. And it's difficult at times because it requires transformation. And transformation is never easy. It requires work. And if you look at anybody in your life who's been successful, they've got through any sort of transformation, it started not only with a I want to, but sustained with I will continue to. Because that's what this Christianity and this faith walk is about. It's I will continue to every day. That's why the Bible says we don't forget the assembling of the brethren together, because what happens is that if we forget that, we become discouraged in our life. That's why there's that encouragement for us to come together, because there's an encouragement when we come together to keep moving on, to keep pushing on, no matter what's taking place in our life. There's something interesting about Christianity is that while we start at one level, we never stay at that level. God wants to bring us into new levels in our life. And how many of you remember years ago when we used to play Super Mario Brothers? Remember years ago, Super Mario Brothers came out, and you had the old Nintendos used to blow on the cartridge because it wouldn't work, and you come up with some sort of concoction in order to hold it right and press the power button so it would come on, and you would get excited because you're like, oh, man, we can continue to play. And I began to think about this game, and when you think about Mario, and Mario went through a lot of transformation during this game. Okay? He started out small, but then he became big, and then he got on fire. And then in later levels of Mario, he began to fly, and he could twist. But all in all, the goal was to get to the end. And if you remember the original Super Mario Brothers, is that he wanted to get to the princess at the end. I just had to get to the end and to free the princess. And what a glorious day it was when I finally got to the end and I was able to free the princess. And you begin to realize that she wasn't that great looking and nothing special about her, right? Right? You're like, we freed the princess. But for you, it was some sort of an accomplishment because you're like, man, I finally beat the game. And the goal was to free her and you finally did it. And then inside of you, you said, man, I wonder if I could do this again. And you remember they would take you to another level of Super Mario Brothers, and the little bullet little ants would come out, and every level would get tougher. And I think sometimes that's how life is. We go through these levels, and if you remember Mario in the game, he could power up in order to get bigger. And at the end, he would jump onto that little flagpole, and he would get the points. And if you timed it on 3 or 6, you would get those fire things at 3 or 6, and those that who played it like, they know what I'm talking about, and you were excited about that because what you were trying to do to gain enough in order to get the next board because you didn't want to lose your life. But you knew you had enough stored up that if you lost it, you could start over again. But the great thing about it was is that when you started over again, you didn't have to start all the way at the beginning if you got past a certain point. And you know, that's how it is in our life. God brings us through these points in our life. And along the way, he's strengthening our faith so that we can eventually get to the end. And who's at the end? Jesus. We already know he's at the end. Isn't that why we're doing this? We're running the race so that we can get to Jesus, who's already at the finish line waiting for us to get there. But the problem is that we still have to live this thing. And that's where the issue comes in our life. Because what God had already framed up and what's already in his mind, he's wanting to bring to pass in the natural, and that involves us coming into relationship and partnership with him so we can begin to understand what his mind looks like. And so he takes us through these different levels of faith where we have to deal with all these obstacles in our life, and sometimes we don't know which way they're coming from, but all we know is that sometimes we got to duck, sometimes we got to jump, but we know we have to move because we know that in the movement, he's with us. We know that he's going with us. He hasn't left us by ourselves, and he's given us these tools in order to help us get through it. James is writing to help them to hold on because of the difficulty that is in their life. And if you begin to understand anything about God, sometimes you just have to hold on. If you've ever been on like a major roller coaster in your life and you decided that we're going to brave this roller coaster because you wanted to prove to your friends that you could actually do it, and when you actually got up on the roller coaster, you said, I can't believe I'm doing this right now, but you got no choice. You got to go through it. And so all you could do the whole time besides scream is to hold on with dear life because God forbid if you let go, something would happen. And when you get to the end, you're so elated that you get to the end, and your friend asks you how you did, and you're shaking in your boots, and you're like, I'm great. But you did it, right? You did it. I can remember years ago when my brother Eric came out to Texas, and I believe my brother Joey was with me also. We went on this ride called the Texas Giant, and it was a huge wooden roller coaster. You know what I'm talking about? The thing was huge. And we went on this thing thinking, this is going to be nothing. There was just some drops that were in it, but we've been on worse. And so I remember, and we finally got to the top looking down, and you know, there's an excitement that's there, because you're like, man, we're about to brave this thing, and it's awesome. I kid you not, We went down on this roller coaster, and it was like something went into hyper gear, and it was like the G-force and velocity was so great that I remember brother and I, Eric, turned our heads like this. I could not get my head back to front until the end of the ride was over, and it was so paralyzing that you could do nothing but laugh the whole time. Because you're saying to yourself, what is happening right now? And I look over like this. Eric has a tear that's dancing on his cheek because the G-force was so great that it just was unbelievable. And we got off the ride, and it was like, do you believe what we just experienced? But it teaches you something. When you think about Christianity, and you can relate, there are some things that we go through that you look back and say, you know what? I can't believe I just experienced that in my life. And you can look back and laugh at it, but while you were in it, it was hell. God would show you everything that you would go through before you went through it. Who would go through it or embrace it? And I feel for Paul. Because when you look at Paul in the New Testament, Paul writes things like this: but the Holy Spirit warns me, when I go into the city, chains and imprisonment awaits me. And how exciting to know as Christians, those things are possible for us. Because you've entered into a war in your life where there's a real enemy who wants to kill you. And working through men today in this world is accomplishing that. And so the exciting thing is that yes, I have a relationship with Jesus, but at the same time, there's this real possibility that I'm going to go through some difficult things in my life, and I need to be ready for that. But I can know along the way that I can be encouraged, that the Holy Spirit can give me the faith that I need to endure that in my life, because I know that on the other side, Jesus is waiting for me. Not only in heaven, but here. And that's the great thing about Christianity. He doesn't let us be. He's with us. He's ever present. So that means that he's with me in it. He's with me on the other side of it. And he's going to help me get through it. That's the great thing about who Jesus is. Because he's already been through it. And so these Christians and who are discouraged in their faith, James is imploring with them. And he says, listen, persevere through it. Because to the Christian, that's life. But also to the non-Christian, listen, you're going to have difficulties and you're going to have trials in your life. That's life too. So whether you're a Christian or whether you're a non-Christian, they're coming. But as a Christian, understand there's a little bit more at stake for you. Because those things have come into your life to actually test the faith that you now possess. Is it real or is it not real? And if it is, prove it and go through it. But if it's not, you'll find out real quick. There is an enemy who wants to destroy you. Not because of necessarily who you are as an individual, but because of what you possess on the inside of you. And because God decided that you were worth dying for and that he wanted you as his possession. And so the enemy has this all-out assault on you and various things happen in your life. And sometimes we forget that God is sovereign and he allows these things. Because he knows that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And last week we talked about how perseverance has to have its perfect work. What? Yeah, it has to have. That means it has to. You have to let it work. But it's not working fast enough. No, it's not, according to you. But it's working. Because you're able to handle more things now in your life than if you look back than you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. Listen, you can handle more now than you did. So perseverance is having its perfect work. So that you can be what? Mature, lacking nothing. Nothing. That's a process is necessary so that you can be complete and you can be mature, lacking nothing in your life. And what happens is that you begin to endure more in your life. And once you begin to learn the process of endurance and what it looks like, the next time something comes in your life, you begin to say, you know, it's just part of the process. I know this. I'm not surprised by this. And you can't say that nobody ever told you, because tonight I'm telling you. The process continues. But you can have joy in it, because you're becoming more and more like Jesus. Now to our text tonight, James chapter 2. Matt, pull it up there. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Next verse. James 2:24. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. So if you profess that you're a Christian, there has to be something that backs up your profession. So that means I have to do something in my life not to earn salvation. I don't earn salvation. But as a byproduct of my salvation and the faith I have in Jesus Christ, good works follow. They should follow. So that means if I say something, I have to do it. He says faith by itself is not good enough. They have to be accompanied by works. That means that I have to put my faith in action in my life. So if I am a Christian and I say that I'm a Christian, that means I am going to have to enter into the principles of Christianity. Worship, prayer, fasting, whatever it is, those things in your life should be evident because of who you are in Jesus Christ. And there should be an evidence of that change in your life if you say that you're a Christian. Isn't that fair? Wouldn't you expect that? You expect when someone says, I am going to give you something, that they're going to what? Give it to you. Correct? So wouldn't it be fair for God to expect that if you say that you're a Christian, that you're actually going to be a Christian and do the things that a Christian does? You see, Abraham, we call him the father of our faith, and the Bible says that it was his faith that got him credit with God. The Bible says that he was credited righteousness because of his belief in Jesus Christ. You know what made that complete? His obedience. When Abraham decided to get out from Ur of the Chaldeans, and he decided to go to a land that God said, I'm not going to tell you where you're going, I'm going to show you when you start going. All of a sudden, that process in his life began to come into completion, because not only did he believe God, but he actually obeyed God. And to the point, if you remember, when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, and the angel came in, you've gone far enough, I see that you honor me. So faith and works have to go hand in hand. And so that means in my life, my obedience to God lets me know not only that I'm in a relationship with God, but I am serious about my faith walk and what God has asked me to do. Sometimes we neglect this idea of obedience because we have an idea of what we think obedience is with God. God is serious when he asks us to do something. Because what is he doing when he asks us to do something? He's testing our faith. So if I ask you to do something, I am trusting that you're going to do this because I've called you mine and you've put your relationship or your trust in me. And so as a result of that relationship, I expect obedience. You don't expect anything less from your kids. Some that were younger, now that they're older, but when they're younger, you expect obedience. Why? Because it's a result of that relationship that's there. And what does that obedience bring? It brings not only cohesion, but blessing to them. Could it be that even right now in your life that God is asking you to go through things, not necessarily realizing what's on the other side of it, but asking you to be obedient because there is blessing in it as you're obedient. I don't know what I'm being obedient to or what God is asking me, what's on the other side. Listen, God said, I'm not asking you to figure out what the outcome is. What I'm asking you to do is just to be obedient. And if you be obedient, blessing will come. But it may not come in the form that you want it to come, but blessing does come because there are many forms of blessing. Sometimes it's a matter of you just strengthening your faith and becoming more like God in the process. Other times in it, God brings physical blessing in your life, but it doesn't matter because in the process, what God is most concerned about is you. Are you becoming more and more like me, and are you becoming the person I've called you to be as a result of this obedience? That's the blessing of it, the fact that I'm becoming more and more like Jesus every single day. And as a byproduct, God has a way of just throwing these other blessings my way. But God is serious about the obedience because there's blessing in the obedience. I can't expect God to give me something if I'm not going to do what God asked me to do. He's too wise. And he's a wise father. And so, do you remember in the New Testament where Jesus is talking to Peter and he asked him three times, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Yeah, okay, Lord, I love you. No, if you love me, feed my sheep. Three times he asked him. There was a condition. Okay, if you love me, I want you to what? Do something. Not because you have to gain favor with me, because I love you unconditionally, but you have a response in this thing. And that response, when you give it to me, lets me know that you love me. And as a result of that, there's blessing. I believe God is looking for people who are obedient. Today, we don't talk about this idea of obedience a lot in church anymore. Because a lot of it's, we want people to be encouraged and we want people to be uplifted. And they are. And God does do that. But there are certain principles that God wants us to adhere to in our life. And one of those things is obedience. Not in a way God's looking at us with a hammer and saying, listen, if you don't, I'm going to get you. No, he's saying, listen, if you love me, remember, you've entered into this faith university not knowing what Christianity looks like. Your obedience, as you obey, you're going to begin to understand more and more of what my idea of your life should look like. Because if you remember, I created this thing. You know the journey you're on? I created the journey. And so you're at a different point in your life. Some of us are at different levels. Some are at other levels in your life. It doesn't matter what level you're at. It doesn't matter. Every level is going to bring new challenges and new opportunities for obedience. But every time you're obedient to God, God blesses. God opens the door. And so the question tonight is this. If you feel stuck, ask yourself, what is the last thing God asked me to do? And have I done it? Because God is so wise and he's such a teacher that he wants us to learn the principle that he's trying to teach us. And so we'll keep going until we learn the principle. And God doesn't forget, and we wish he would. No. Let's try it again. No, didn't get it that time either. Let's try it again. Until we get it. And he is a thorough teacher. Thorough. It's one of those things where, like, you can't Christmas tree, like, test with him, man. It just doesn't work that way. I threw some faith at it, Lord. It didn't move. No, it doesn't work that way with God. He's a thorough teacher because he wants to make sure you get it. So that you can move on. And here's the thing. Yeah, so that you can move on, so that you can help someone else move on in the process also. And let them know that, listen, God took me through the same process you're going through right now in your life. It's okay. On the other side, I promise you, there's blessing and there's a new level of faith that God wants to bring you through. New level. And so here's the challenge tonight. It's real simple.
Do more. Do more. What is God asking you to do now? Sometimes it's a matter of us just taking it up a notch and doing it just a little bit more. You know, we're in a relationship with God and things are going well, and sometimes we get stagnant, but maybe we just need to do a little bit more. I've given you opportunities. I've given you gifts just to do a little bit more. Just do more. And whatever that looks like for you, the Holy Spirit will show you. Not so that you can earn stripes with him. No. But you want to see change in your life. You want to see change. But if you always do what you always done, you will always get the same thing. It's the same thing. And I remember times in my life where I feel like I'm in a rut or certain things, and I just felt like I'd say, well, do something different. Do something different. And it's amazing how doing something different changes my trajectory and my perspective and my relationship with God. Amazing. When I decide to push it an extra mile, do more. I've got faith. Yes, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I possess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm in relationship with him. But my responsibility now, because I've been walking with the Lord, I could do more. There are things I could do. There are opportunities for me to get involved. And one of the things as a church, as we get ready to talk about community groups over the next week or two, there are opportunities as a church for us to get involved in community groups. We've got serve groups. We've got common interest groups. Those serve groups, you see people up here during worship. You see people doing first impressions on the way in. You see people doing security and parking. Serve groups, get involved. Just take a step and do something. Because who knows if it's not that one step that's going to help you break through up into the next level in your life. All he's asking is, hey, listen, take a step. You're too old, not physically. You're too old in me not to be stepping. I've saved you. I've given you life. Let's get involved. This is why community and community groups are so important, because you take your life into a new level when you step into that area of obedience and you start serving somewhere and you start doing life with other people. And so you'll start to see that in the next couple weeks in our website, opportunities to get involved and to serve, common interest groups. Take a step and do it. It's not my thing. Well, sometimes God says, let's make it your thing. Eating better is just not my thing. Well, if you want to live longer, it's funny because most of us, like, we've been in the situation where we know we need to change, and the doctor says, listen, if you don't do this, yeah, but it's not really that bad, right? Well, I mean, life or death, but. And I think sometimes God would say that as we get ready to close tonight and the band comes up, is, listen, I've given you an opportunity. I've given you two choices. Choose life. Choose the things that bring life to you, add value to you. You could choose to walk in the other way and do things that don't add value to you, but that's not my best for you. It's not my best. Remember, I created this thing. This whole idea of Faith University is my idea. I started the work. I'm going to complete it. I know how it works. I know levels I want to bring you up into. And even in those levels, I'm going to require more of you to in those levels. Every level requires a different responsibility. Every level requires another level of obedience. And if you're willing, God will do some amazing things in your life. Remember Mario. Remember him. The transformation that he went through, all because the end game and the end goal was worth it, was to save that princess. For you, is the end goal worth the process? Remember the end goal. Remember who's there? It's Jesus. Is it worth the process? Amen.